Hear you, the captain had said. Flying dragon. Why would it still be connected? If they intend to bring Toshikazu back to Selene, they ought to light off as quickly as they can. Then Bracknell remembered that Hiryu was a Yamagata vessel, and Yamagata certainly wasn't here to help Toshikazu recover from his wounds. The silent explosion blinded him, but it did not surprise him. Death and Transfiguration. Whirling blindly through space, Bracknell knew for certain that he was a dead man now. He could feel himself spinning giddily. The explosion must have torn my tether free of Alhambra, he thought. I'll twirl like this forever. I'll probably be the first man to reach Alpha Centauri, even though I'll be too dead to know it. Then the realization hit him. Addy, the captain, all the people on Alhambra. Did the bastards kill everybody? Madly he tried to paw at his tear-filled eyes. His gloved hands bumped into the thick quartz visor of his helmet. Blinking furiously, he tried to force his vision to return. All he saw was the searing after-image of the explosion's fireball. They wouldn't have blown up the whole ship, he said to himself. Why would they? They wanted Toshikazu and they got him. Why the explosion? An accident? No, he realized. They suspected that Toshikazu had been talking to us. They wanted no witnesses, nobody left alive. Dead men tell no tales. Neither do dead women, even if they're only 17 years old. His eyes filled with tears again, but now he was sobbing for Addy. Killed because of me. The final casualty of the Sky Tower. They killed her and everybody else because of me. Then he thought of Yamagata. I didn't kill them, Bracknell reminded himself. He did. Yamagata. He's back on Earth, living in luxury with the blood of millions on his hands. Slowly his vision returned. Eventually he could see the wreckage of Alhambra spreading outward like dandelion seeds puffed by the wind. It was dwindling, dwindling as he himself spiraled away through space. Yamagata did this. Bracknell kept the image of Saito Yamagata in the forefront of his mind. It kept him alive, gave him a reason to keep on breathing. He had never met the mighty founder of Yamagata Corporation, but he had seen vids of the man on the newsnet. Yamagata was supposed to have retreated to some monastery in Tibet, Bracknell remembered, but the newscasters smugly reported that this was just a ruse. The old man was still running his interplanetary corporate maneuvers, they assured their watchers. Saito Yamagata, Bracknell told himself as he tumbled endlessly through space. Saito Yamagata. When he finally lapsed into unconsciousness, he was still burning with hatred of Saito Yamagata. He opened his eyes and almost smiled. Bracknell found himself lying on an infirmary bed, safe and warm, with a crisp sheet over his naked body. It was all a dream, he thought. A nightmare. But the dark-skinned, slightly plump nurse who stepped into his view was a stranger, and she wore a white uniform with the crescent logo of Selene on her left breast, just above a name tag that identified her as Norris, G. Bracknell blinked at her, then croaked, "Where am I?" She smiled pleasantly at him, white teeth gleaming in her dark face. "A classic question. But where? You're in the hospital at Selene. A salvage team picked you up when they went out to claim the wreck of Alhambra." "Alhambra?" The nurse fussed over the intravenous drip inserted in Bracknell's arm as she replied, "From what I hear, Alhambra collided with some Yamagata ship and they both blew up. You're lucky to be alive." Raising his head anxiously, Bracknell asked, "Did anybody else? Are there any other?" "No, you're the only one who survived. What were you doing outside in a spacesuit?" Without waiting for an answer, the nurse went on, "Whatever, it saved your life. Were you outside doing some repairs or what?" He sank back onto the pillow. "I don't remember," he lied. The nurse cast him a doubtful glance. "There wasn't any ID on you when they brought you in. What's your name?" Bracknell started to reply, then caught himself. I don't remember," he said. "You don't remember your own name?" Trying to look upset about it, Bracknell said, "I can't remember anything. It's all a blank." "Post-traumatic shock," muttered the nurse. "We'll have to run some scans on you then and check them against the files." She left Bracknell's bedside. He raised himself up on his elbows and looked around. He was in a cubicle created by portable plastic partitions. His clothes were nowhere in sight, and he knew he had to get out of this hospital before the computer scans identified him as Mance Bracknell, the criminal who'd been sentenced to lifelong exile. In his office in New Kyoto, Nobuhiko Yamagata watched the image of the white-haired servant as he delivered his final message. "It's finished, then," he said to himself. "At last it's finished. I can breathe freely again." Within an hour, the news came that a corporation ship named Hiryu had been destroyed in an accident that also wiped out the freighter Alhambra. No survivors were reported. Nobu's first instinct was to uncork a bottle of champagne, but he knew that would be incorrect. Besides, he found that he didn't feel like celebrating. Instead, a profound sense of gloom settled upon him like a massive weight. "It's finished," he repeated to himself. "This terrible business is finished at last."
Book 4. Vengeance. Vengeance is in my heart, death in my hand. Blood and revenge are hammering in my head.
Cellini Hospital. After a bland meal, Bracknell pushed his tray aside and got out of the hospital bed. The floor tiles felt comfortably warm to his bare feet. He seemed strong enough, no wobbles or shakes. The cubicle was barely large enough to hold his bed. Portable plastic partitions, he saw. No closet, not even a lavatory, and this damned IV hooked into my arm. He cracked the accordion door a centimeter and peeped out. The same nurse was striding down the corridor in his direction. Bracknell hopped back into the bed and pulled the sheet over his naked body. She pushed the door back and gave him an accusing look.
"I saw you peeping out the door. Feeling better, huh?"
"Yes," said Bracknell.
"Long as you're taking solid food, we can disconnect this drip," she said, gripping his arm and gently pulling the IV tube out of him.
Even so, Bracknell winced. As she sprayed a bandage over his punctured arm, Nurse Norris said happily,
"You're going to have a pair of visitors, Mr. X."
"Visitors?" He felt immediately alarmed.
"Yep. Psychotechnician, to talk to you about your amnesia, and some suit from the corporate world. Don't know what he wants."
"Can I get some clothes?" Bracknell asked. "It's kind of awkward like this." Norris looked at one of the monitors on the wall behind the bed and fiddled with her handheld remote.
"The coveralls you came in with were pretty raw. I sent them to the laundry. I'll see if I can find them for you. Otherwise, it's hospital issue."
"Before the visitors arrive?" She gave him that unhappy look again.
"For a charity case, you make a lot of demands."
Before he could answer, though, she ducked back outside and slid the partition closed. "Once I get my clothes back, I can make a run for it," Bracknell said to himself. "I can't let them scan me. I got to get out of here before they find out who I am. And go where? I'm in Cellini on the moon. As soon as they find out who I am, they'll slap me into another ship and send me back to the belt. Where can I hide?" He thought about escaping back to Earth, to Lara, but he knew that was ridiculous. How can I get to Earth from here? Besides, she's Victor's wife now. Even if she wanted to hide me, she wouldn't be able to. Then he realized that he hadn't the faintest idea of where on Earth Lara might be. Shaking his head morosely, he decided that going back to Earth would be impossible. Toshikazu said he had a brother, he remembered. What was his name? Takeo.
Takeo Kobe.